This is Wells Tech, a show that explores the intersection of technology and ministry. Wells Tech is a part of the Streams Media Network sponsored by Wells, the Wisconsin Evangelical Lutheran Synod. Your show hosts are Martin Spriggs and Sally Draper. Join the conversation at wellstech.wells.net.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to Wells Tech. This is episode 354 for Tuesday, August 12th, 2014. Show about technology, ministry, where those two meet. We join you each week, each Tuesday afternoon. The we, of course, Sally Draper from New Ulm, Minnesota. Hi, Sally.
Hey, Martin. How are you today?
I am fine. Very good, thank you. We've had some much-needed rain, so that was good. Lawn was getting a little brown.
Yep.
So God provided once again. It's been actually a great summer for farmers here. The corn is hasn't been really too hot, so the corn is supposed to be real sweet and real nice this year.
Oh.
You have corn festival something coming up.
I was just going to say, this Friday's buttered corn days in Sleepy Eye, so if you want some sweet corn, that's the place to be. You can get all you can eat for free.
Yeah.
Can't beat it.
Yep. Bring your toothpick and
whatever. And your big container. People bring big roasters and fill it up. They'll give you, I think, up to 12 ears per person free. So all
free.
The corn you can imagine.
That's almost worth driving over for.
It's good stuff.
Okay. Very cool. Speaking of good stuff, we're kind of in the midst of a summer series, which much needed and enjoyed. So it's a little bit of an abbreviated season for us, this summer season, where we're looking at our Wells Tech Wiki, trying to figure out what to keep, what to pitch, what to encourage our listeners and viewers to provide feedback on and participate in. So wellstechwiki.gapps.wells.net. And you see the little button at the top there, Sally sharing her screen. Request an account. If you don't have an account, it's very simple. Click that button. Sally will give you one. And then you can add your good stuff there, too. We've talked about a lot of different things so far, from Bible software to church office stuff, which is on the docket today, communications, infrastructure, Wi-Fi, all that stuff. And everybody out there probably has some kind of experience with something on the Wells Tech Wiki site. And in fact, this last planning session, Sally, we even found a few things that we wanted to add that we hadn't even accounted for in the old site. So it just keeps growing and growing.
Yeah. And, you know, it's really everyone's experience that makes the site so great, because we're going to talk today about child care management software, church management software, and school management software. So it's all about software in the church and school office today. But you and I don't work in a church or school office, so we're really depending on our listeners to share their experience, what they like and don't like, how they've manipulated the software and made it work for their particular situation. Any of that kind of experience would be really helpful to add to the wiki in these particular areas.
Right. So child care management software was something that, I don't know about you, Sally, but I didn't really know existed until podcast 156, where we had podcast 82 even, because we had an interview with somebody who was using ProCare management software. And there is all kinds of things involved with child care, including, you know, child care tracking, billing, and lo and behold, there are software solutions out there for that, and I'm sure there's many more than what we have on the wiki, other than just the ProCare stuff. So that would be a great place if you have experience with that, any of those products, or even maybe repurposing existing tools, your experiences with those, whether you put together your own little roll-your-own solution, or whether you use an off-the-shelf solution, or using, you know, something like Shepherd Staff to do it. That kind of feedback is exactly what people would look for if they're interested in child care management software and coming to this wiki to find out more.
Martin, we were laughing before the show started about our memories, and, you know, maybe this podcast becomes a trip down memory lane on a pretty regular basis, but it seems like I remember people talking about using even iPads at the reception desk to check students in and out, because I think that's a really big deal, is to capture the exact time stamp of when the students arrive, when they leave, so that you can figure out all that billing around the amount of child care that was actually provided. So I think there's a wide variety of solutions. Unfortunately, we don't have a lot of them represented here, but given the explosive nature of child care, even within our synod, you'd think that we could get some more contributions here and build this up a little. So yep. Hopefully someone's listening and can share their experience. And I know the ProCare was from a church in, I think in western Minnesota, maybe in Winona or somewhere, that was using that and had recommended it to us. But I haven't followed up with them lately to see if they're still using it or not.
Yep. Winona would be eastern Minnesota, I think.
That's the direction I was pointing, yep, in my mind. So, whatever.
Yes. All right. Next category is very similar, church management software. Here we have a little bit more experience. In fact, back in the day, we even did some training on Shepherd Staff. Shepherd Staff is our vendor of choice, or the one that we recommend the most, certainly for congregations thinking about member management software, but there are others and other people with experiences. We've had a number of interviews with people from Concordia Technology Solutions about that software and their newest release, Member 360, and the associated products, Ledger 360, and so on and so forth. So lots of good stuff there. We have a growing area. But again, that may not be the solution for you. So if you've got experiences with that or others, this is the place to add that kind of stuff.
All right. There's an others page, and we listed Salesforce and Shepherd's Helper there. Those were two that we learned about when we did a technology conference last fall in Las Vegas. And so I know that there are some congregations that are using those. Salesforce is kind of a open source internet database, basically, that people have customized to use as a database for tracking church members or church prospective members. And then Shepherd's Helper, I think, is a custom program developed by a Wells member that's being used for prospect management. Yeah. Interestingly, there was a page on the old wiki, which we converted, for something called Planning Center Online, which is kind of a little bit outside the scope of the typical church management software. As I looked at it more in depth, it's more of a resource management software. So, you know, managing your volunteers, working around events, kind of like a worship planning software, but maybe a little bit larger than that.
Right.
So resources and scheduling and all kinds of things like that are included in Planning Center Online. Again, that one would be a web-based solution. And more of these are going to that in the cloud so that you can access it from anywhere. Multiple people can work in the software as opposed to the install it on your server and you need to be pretty local to get access to it.
Yep. And Sally, the last section that we wanted to highlight today under Office would be school management software. And again, the Synod has a partner. PowerSchool is the vendor that we've had for quite some time. In fact, there was just a PowerSchool training class in the office last week, parallel to our final web training. And or was it 2 weeks ago now? And
time flies. Yeah,
but that's not the only one out there. So we know that a number of our schools use PowerSchool, so that we've got a little bit of information there on that. But we also have an others category there too: FastDirect, Infinite Campus, Juniper Ed, Skyward, and I'm sure that the list is even longer than that. So this would be really valuable information, because I know some schools, many schools, don't even have a solution like this, or they've got kind of a solutions of Office products or Google Docs or whatever, Google Spreadsheets to do some of this stuff, where some of this software is really powerful and could save you a lot of time in and probably get you a lot more organized if you just took a look at some of these software solutions. And hopefully the wiki can be a resource center for those kinds of step-by-steps and feedback, just different options to consider, maybe even planning kinds of resources as you can, if you have this kind of school or these kinds of needs, you maybe want to look at these or these kinds of features.
And school management, a lot of times I think about keeping up with the kids and their addresses and the parents and the insurance information that you have to gather at the beginning of each school year. But it also can encompass grade books and parents' electronic access to grades and things like that. That's really popular now, so that the parents can log in and keep up with their children's you know, attendance records, grade records, perhaps even the school cafeteria, you know, funding and stuff, the hot lunch programs and all of that. So it can get pretty large when you're having to manage a school. I bet there are a lot of people listening who would agree with that. So
there is a kind of a crossover with this category and learning management software, LMSs versus SMSs, if you want to use acronyms, where there's that middle ground where you have kind of parent access to grades and those kinds of things. And then the learning management solutions also have that kind of stuff too, as it relates to grades and assignments and those kinds of things. But where I think software management or school management software, their sweet spot is in you know, just tracking member or student information, could be grades, but demographic information, information about billing, information that you know, about health, those kinds of things, permission slips, those kinds of things. So.
Yep, and we're going to talk about learning management software when we get to our last category in the wiki, which is all about schools. School. So we'll talk a little bit more about that type of software in the school category.
Very good. All right, so next week we're going to be on down the line here with more topics related to our wiki, and that is going to be still in the office category, but we're going to talk about office hardware, productivity tools, office software, including the Google Suite, Microsoft Office, templates, and electronic giving would fall in that category as well. So that'll be all coming up next week.
Yep. Clue your secretaries in as they will want to tune in for even more office topics.
Yep. So let's move on to our tips and picks. My tip of the week, Sally, is kind of a category of products that I've been using a lot lately for a couple of different purposes, and that's the tip is really you have servers. Many of you manage servers. They maybe are file servers. Maybe they are you know, different kinds of media servers. Or even just access to other people's computers. And that's this remote-controlled category of software. So TeamViewer is the one that I've used and has been one of my picks in the past, but there are a bunch of others. LogMeIn, Go to My PC, even Windows Remote Desktop, back to my Mac, RealVNC are just a number of these in this category. But they can save you quite a bit of money when it comes down to it. So as you're thinking about you know, managing your server infrastructure, or even helping helping people manage their own desktops or laptops, things like TeamViewer can be a real aid. And if you have a bunch of servers that you need to manage, email servers, file servers, whatever, you don't need to hook up a monitor and keyboard and mouse to every one of them when you have the ability to throw on tools like TeamViewer and remotely manage them. Can save yourself a little bit of money by doing that. And it's real easy to do that, especially if you have a number of them. Just switch from one to another without having to walk into the server closet or walk down the hall to another classroom or the computer lab, or even in some cases get in your car and drive over to the campus or church to figure out what's going on with a particular computer, somebody's computer or the server computer that you have there. So these little utilities, I'd call them, have gotten a lot better, a lot faster. While they're not like sitting right in front of the computer, they're the next best thing. I use something like this to remotely help my mom, you know, when she calls for tech support. So I'll go in there and apply updates or see what's wrong with her email, whatever. But these can save somebody who's responsible for tech support or managing infrastructure a lot of time. And most of them are free. I know there is a free version of TeamViewer if it's for private use. So it's a good solution if you want to kind of save some time and some money. So that's my tip.
That's a great tip. You didn't mention my favorite, which is join.me.
Join.me, right.
And it's in that same family of support. It's really great for me when someone calls me on the phone and says, my computer's acting up. I can just say, hop over to join.me and read me the code that comes up when you launch it, you know. And right. just like that, I can see their screen and they can give me control to control their mouse and run their computer if they so desire. So
I may be wrong, but I think join.me was bought or is owned by LogMeIn.
It's a sub-product.
Their free product, right? And it is excellent, yeah.
Yeah.
Sally, you have a tip.
Find my mouse and share my screen. I find the correct screen to share. My tip is actually a keyboard shortcut, so you aren't going to see my hands do it, but the keyboard shortcut I want to recommend to you is actually Shift-Control-T. And Shift-Control-T is kind of a backwards closing of your tabs. So let's say you're working and you have multiple tabs open on your screen, and just by accident you close one that you didn't intend to. I don't know if that ever happens to you, but I go, oh, man, I didn't mean to close that, and I'm really disappointed. But if I can just remember how to collect my thoughts enough to do Control-Shift-T, it will open up the last tab that I closed. And if I have my screen selected, you can see it open up the last tab that I closed. And if I continue to do it, it'll open up all the tabs that I've closed in successive order. So Control-Shift-T, I am really excited to learn that keyboard shortcut, and I expect it will save me some grief when I accidentally close tabs I didn't intend to.
Just need some kind of memory peg for that. So T, maybe as in return or turn back or...
Tab. There you go.
All right. Great.
Very good. Tip. All right.
Move on to our picks.
And I will move right into my pick, which is a blog post that I came across. Actually, Lifehacker pointed to it, but I'm going to share the actual blog post, not the Lifehacker point to that blog post. Anyway, it's called, Can I Use That Picture? The Terms, Laws, and Ethics for Using Copyrighted Images. And it is, believe it or not, an image infographic. And I have it loaded here. Nope, I don't. Let me click on the image. And you might even want to kind of zoom in to see it. But basically, in the infographic, he covers definitions of copyright, fair use, Creative Commons, and public domain, and then he gives you kind of a flow chart through a list of questions, starting with did you take or create the image yourself as opposed to purchasing it or finding it online? And he walks through kind of the ethical type questions that you should ask. You know, have you copied someone's work in the creation of it, or have you altered it, or whatever? And it's very well done. I am really impressed with the infographic. I think it's a keeper for sure. So you might check out the Wells Tech Pinterest page, because I think it might be actually pinned there to the Pinterest page. Good article, and it made me dig a little further into this blog. It's called The Visual Communication Guy, and he has a lot of great stuff here. He features design knowledge, punctuation portal, fun stuff, teaching aids, book reviews, business communication, and consulting. And he has some specialty kind of memes, like he does 5 quick tricks as a blog post series. He has 5 quick tricks to design your PowerPoint presentation and to capture an audience's attention and to conduct a usability test on your small business website. So lots of really useful design-oriented topics here. He also has a section of the website called Visualized, and those are all his infographics kind of pulled together in one location. There's the most recent one, Can I Use That Picture? He's got 18 rules for using text, the visual complexity of Coca-Cola advertisements by decade, 15 punctuation marks in order of difficulty, and on and on. So he is definitely design-oriented. I read a little bit about him. He's got a PhD in it. Interestingly, rhetorics, communication, and information design. So interesting PhD. And, you know, visual communication is so big. We've talked about this a lot on the podcast, Martin, and I think his blog is worth maybe spending a little time and digging around on. So check out the infographic, check out the Visual Communication Guy blog.
There is a, there's a wave of infographics over the past 5-6 years, and there's a reason for that, and that's because a well-done infographic can help you understand a topic or explore a topic in a lot more meaningful way for a lot of people, at least, than just reading an essay or reading even bullet points, because you have the ability to create images and motion and colors and a lot of the same things that we've kind of talked about that are useful and make mind mapping maybe a better way to brainstorm and communicate ideas too. So it's kind of a more structured mind map, but it's those people that can do it are like this guy. What a talent to be able to think like that. If I sat down to do an infographic, it wouldn't look anything like that.
I'm wondering if that might be something worth fleshing out more in the sharing of the gospel message.
Mm-hmm.
Some simple infographics that we could share.
That's a great idea. I wonder if they are out there. I've never done a search like that, but I know we've got a lot of creative people in our circles as well, and maybe that's a project.
Yeah, I like it. All right, you have a pick for us as well, Martin.
Yeah, I do, and it's hardware pick, and it's a computer that I'm currently using, the Windows computer that I use, and that's the Microsoft Surface Pro 3 tablet. So this came out a little while ago, maybe 3-4 months ago. So I upgraded my Surface Pro 2 mainly because it's got a bigger screen, and it looks a lot bigger on this on the webcam here than it actually is. It's I believe it's a 12-inch screen. So if you can picture MacBook Air, they make 11 and 13 inches, so it's kind of like right in between those two. But it is a true tablet as well, so there's a touch interface. It also comes with a pen, so there's a stylus that you can use with this, and they've kind of baked it into OneNote, which is the note-taking software that I use, so that with just kind of the click of a mouse or the eraser of the pen, like I have here, I can click once and it will immediately open up OneNote for me, and it will then allow me to take notes right on the screen. So it's actually a really cool interface for that, and it's very exact. So it's not like writing on glass anymore. So that's a cool thing. They come with or they don't come with, but you can get keyboards with them, which act as covers, so that's kind of nice in the process to allow more for typing. And then their biggest improvement over a Surface Pro, other than the upgraded specs and the larger screen, is this kickstand. So the old kickstand, you had two positions, kind of like this, and a little bit wider. But here, there's no clicking at all. It can kind of go all the way back, so you can kind of use it as a full tablet and type right on it if you put it down on the surface of a table. It's basically a full computer, which is nice. So you get the tablet side where you get all the apps that Microsoft has, including Mail and OneNote and all the Office Suite and so on and so forth if you've got a subscription to that. But it has a full desktop version too, so it's just like running a regular computer. So it runs Windows 8.1 in desktop mode. And you have your start, buttons and your taskbar and, those kinds of things. And this happens to have an i5 processor and 8 gigs of RAM and a 256 gigabyte SSD drive, which is plenty of storage, especially in this cloud-based environment. So I really like it. It's really light. I do quite a bit of traveling, and this fits well on on an airplane. It also carries well in a backpack or a bag, and it doesn't get real hot, so it stays pretty cool, and just a nice device. It runs about 800 to 1200 to almost 2000 depending on what configuration you get. The one I got is kind of middle of the road. They make an i3 processor and an i7 processor, so either side of the one that I have. And the screen is beautiful. The craftsmanship I would equate to like what an iPad would be, so really high quality craftsmanship. and just as lights. And plus, it's a full-blown computer, so it's the computer I use day in and day out. So that's my pick.
I can attest to the fact that he plugged it right into the projection and did all his final web training from that, and I was kind of in awe, so that's impressive.
No, it's a good it's a good device, and I think a good value. So anybody looking for a new computer and maybe want the portability and the convertibility of a tablet versus kind of a laptop, this is a real good choice. And with the kickstand positioning, they say it's got good lapability, meaning it can sit better on the lap. See, the old one was really a challenge. You kind of had to teeter it there. This one you can get comfortable with. I would still say it's not as good as a full-blown laptop if you do all your work with it on your lap, but it still could be, you know, it's a lot better than it was. And I think it's perfectly serviceable if you're an occasional, you know, I'm holding it in my lap kind of user.
All right. Very good.
So those are our tips and our picks. Let's move on to a little bit of reminder stuff, and that is that we have a WellsTech conference coming up sooner than we think in July, so it's less than a year away, and we're still seeking presenters for our breakouts, and the conference is July 9th through the 11th, and we have a deadline of September 30th to submit your suggestion for a breakout. If you want to be a part of the conference as a presenter, you would get free access to the conference. You still need to get there and stay there at the beautiful Country Springs Inn and Water Resort in Waukesha, Wisconsin, just down the road from our Senate office. But that's $199 that we will waive if you are a presenter. So please consider doing that. Go to Wells.net/WellsTechConf, C-O-N-F, and you will get a glimpse of our conference page and be able to submit your idea.
Yeah, I'm hoping that people will be creative and think about what it is they would like to learn or what it is they have to share. Kind of a show and tell, but, you know, make it practical and something that you can educate people on in 50 minutes. I bet some of the different church management software and school management software would be a great topic to present on even. So give us your ideas.
Sally, we have got some community feedback.
We do. First of all, one website that was shared from Ryan Rosenthal, our resident history teacher, who often comes up with really great historical and geographic type websites. This one's actually from The Guardian, and it's a focus on the First World War. And yeah, it's been about 100 years since the First World War happened, and they've put together a really nice site. I will say that it has a disclaimer, contains images some viewers may find disturbing. So you'd certainly want to vet this before you share it with your class and, you know, pay attention to and guide them through the process. It's divided into different areas: the origins, trenches, empires, fronts, slaughter, endings, and aftermath. And you can tell if you're seeing my screen that it's very interactive. It goes full screen on you, and you can, you know, click play and begin the process, and video and audio, kind of a real-time experience almost to understand the World War. The First World War. So, looks like a good site from The Guardian.
Cool.
And besides that, we had a couple of people write in to us, Martin. First of all, on our Facebook page, we heard from Leslie Bergerman, who wrote to us in response to something we talked about last week on the show. We had someone tag an article about Google potentially blocking your church site or warning people about your church website if there was Flash enabled on the site. And maybe this would be on a mobile device or something that doesn't play Flash. We haven't specifically seen those warnings on any of our final websites or anything, but Leslie did write in and say, final webs don't contain the Flash, but the Anytime Anywhere Bible Studies from NPH do. And at this point, after contacting MPH, they didn't really have a workaround solution right now for that issue with the Anytime Anywhere Bible Studies. So really great product that they have, where you can have interactive Bible studies on your website from Northwestern Publishing House, but apparently they might have flash issues on an iOS device especially. So.
Yeah, and I'm thinking that Google, part of Google's thinking is that, you know, there have been a lot of vulnerabilities that have come through flash installations, and Adobe tries to keep up with it, but at some point there's just, you know, the chance that there could be some kind of malicious attack through through something embedded in a flash video or something like that. So they probably do it for that as well. So it's probably always a good idea, at least every month or so, go out to Google and do a search and see what or how your site is represented or where it turns up in the results, and when it does come up in the results, what's it showing, and then do a little bit of research onto to why it's doing that. And clearly you want it to come up in a good light, but also you want it to come up in on that first page if at all possible. So
excellent. All right, we also had a question from listener Pastor Matt Arnold. He wrote to us via Google Plus. He said he was searching the Wells Tech site for information but not finding it on this topic. He said, currently we're using a double cassette tape deck to record our services. The deck is dying and few have cassette players anymore. I'm looking for a way that we could easily record the service, probably to burn to CDs, although possibly eventually to MP3 as well. We'd also like to be able to play CDs or MP3s for pre-service music. So this sounds like all audio recordings, no video involved. He says he thought about trying to repurpose an old laptop, but that seemed like an overkill. Plus, that would mean that basically only I would know how to run it. And that's not a solution you want, Pastor Arnold. You want those volunteers to be able to do your audio production stuff. So he says he saw a Roland device that could plug into your amp and record to CD or an SD card, but that was about $700, which really wouldn't be in the budget right now. So yeah, he's looking for ways to do audio recording.
There's a lot of ways you can do that. You can go the computer route, and it's not that difficult. You just load up Audacity and hit record once you get the audio coming into the device. So that would be one thing. You could use an iDevice. I would think that you could use an iPod Touch. You could use a iPad, because those will all record. You plug in to get the audio going into those. I don't know if you can do that straight or you need a device. Converter device. You can also find some kind of solid state recorder. He mentioned Roland. We've used a Marantz before. The good thing about those is it goes straight to digital, so it's going to be the best quality you can get. And if you want to go to MP3, it's already in that format, so you don't have to do any conversion. The problem with taking it to like a CD or DVD is you've got to rip it to something else and do a conversion with like Handbrake or something like that. So I would say go as straight to digital as you can. You know, use a device, like an iOS device or an Android device that will record it. And you can, get that straight out of your mixer.
Mm-hmm.
Do it that way. So lots of options. Probably our listeners have better experience with that as well.
Yeah, I totally agree with you, Martin. There's a million devices. There's little digital recorders of all flavors if you walk down the aisles at Best Buy. So I think definitely, think MP3 format. Then you can repurpose it on your website very easily and that kind of thing.
Easy to rip. There's ripping software that'll go to CD if that's your ultimate delivery device to shut-ins or whatever. But mm-hmm. I think web is probably the way to go, and MP3 is definitely the way to go if you're doing that. So.
Mm-hmm.
Thanks for the question, Mark, and hopefully we have some responses to that. And do send that out to the Wells Tech listserv, too, because there's lots of people, I'm sure, ready and able to answer out on our listserv.
All right. I think that will do it for community feedback for this week, Martin.
And Sally, how can they, if they've never done any kind of feedback, is it hard?
Yeah, I was just thinking we make it really hard for you folks. If you head over to wellstech.wells.net, there's about more than I can count number of ways to keep up with
more
us
than
and
one handful. Yes.
That's right. So right there on the website, there's a convenience. Send us a voicemail. We'd love to actually hear your voice, and we could play that audio because we have great audio people on our staff. We could get it into the show. And if that's not your cup of tea, there's Google Plus, Facebook, Twitter, and Digo for sharing with us. And you can even pin a pin on Pinterest if you so desire. You can leave a comment right on the show notes page, or you can email us at wellstech.wells.net. I'm sorry, wellstech@wells.net. Boy, too many things to remember. So head over to our website and you'll find all of that.
Very good. Sally, we have a YouTube playlist entry this week, and that has to do with Shepherd Staff. Shepherd Staff, as we mentioned, was our the vendor or the product from Concordia Solutions, which is our preferred vendor in this area. They've got some training videos out there, as well as a Google Hangout that our friend Jason Schmidt ran on Google Classroom, so that fits nicely into kind of our topic of the day as well, although Google Classroom is maybe more of the learning management software side rather than the student management, but probably a little bit of stuff in there too. I was not able to attend that. Sally, did you get to see that at all?
I didn't sit in on it live, but you can watch it, the Memorex version, the YouTube version. And what's cool about these two is we've started a brand new playlist for product demos, and both of these are in that category, product demos. And Classroom in particular is very timely because Google made an announcement that they were going to early release Classroom. They had promised us access to Classroom on our Google Apps domains in September, but most people that have Google Apps for Education domains got an email last week that said it should be coming this week instead. So that makes it even more timely to get over and watch Jason's.
No sign of it yet, I'm assuming.
I actually haven't checked our domain. I haven't gotten any specific word.
I haven't seen anything either. So. But that's kind of exciting. I guess probably the strategy there is to try and get ahead of the school year.
Right.
So people want to try this for the school year. It's available to them. And early reviews have been positive for people who have beta tested this, but it's an interesting concept, especially for schools already in the Google Apps, you know, camp. So you're already used to maybe submitting documents through Google
exactly.
Docs and that kind of thing, and this is, I think, trying to bring that together into
it's gonna make it a lot easier.
A package. Yep.
Mm-hmm. For sure. So, yeah, watch Jason's preview demo and let us know if you're using Google Classroom. We'll want to hear more about that.
By the time we meet next week, we will have some news to share on Google Classroom. So.
Yep.
That's all for this week, Sally. Thanks so much for all your work, as usual. And thank you for listening or watching. Remember, every Tuesday afternoon, 4 o'clock Central, we do this live. You can ask questions, make comments, and guide the show where you'd like it to go sometimes. That's kind of a neat thing. So, but you have to tune in live. But if you don't do that, if you can't square away a 4 o'clock time on Tuesday afternoons, keep listening, keep watching, keep sharing. We'd love to increase our audience size and share some of the ministry tools that we talk about each and every week. So thanks for coming by, and we'll talk to you next week.